Good morning again. Last couple Sundays I was up here, I've been talking about change. Not just the order of service, but change in our lives. It's time to get a little closer to the subject. For you to have change in your life, it has to be preceded with prayer. We have to want to change. We have to be speaking with God to change in the right direction, to make the correct improvements in our lives, how to draw closer to Him. And I want to tell you today that prayer is the most important thing in your life. And I don't think that's a bold statement. I think it supports the truth of the Scriptures. In Luke chapter 11, the disciples come to Jesus with an interesting request. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." It says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" I think this is interesting because this is one of the few places. To me, this is the one thing that disciples asked Jesus to teach them specifically. They never asked to be taught to preach or to heal or to lead a committee meeting or be better leaders, to build an evangelistic church, or the one thing that's plagued churches over the years, how to get more people invited to VBS. But they asked him, "Teach us to pray." Jesus taught them many things over the course of his time with them, but prayer was the most important. See, I think the disciples made some kind of a connection when Jesus taught them. It said in John chapter 5, verse 19, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner.'" This is some statement coming from Jesus Christ, Lord himself walking on earth. But the disciples noticed. They started to understand that it's not really Jesus doing the work, but it's his Father working through him. They began to put it together, and even though Jesus was their high priest, the one who'd been tempted in all things but never sinned, even in him the power of life come through God the Father. They observed it, and they asked him to teach them to pray. You see, they made the connection. They made the connection between prayer and peace, prayer and power, and prayer and positive results. They said, "We want to get in on this, Lord. We want to know what you know and experience what you experience." You see, Jesus began his public ministry in prayer. Luke 3, 21, 22 says, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" Now, that wasn't the first time Jesus prayed, but he launched his public ministry with that prayer. Jesus moved on from there and went into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted and to pray. And all through the Gospels, we find examples of Jesus praying before he did anything and then acting on what God had told him. And we need to understand as a people that wherever people are being saved and wherever lives are being changed, it's because someone has been praying, has been reaching out to God and listening. Acts 1:13, "And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." This is important because the result of this prayer was a fulfillment of prophecy, the birth of the church and the filling of the Holy Spirit We're talking about Pentecost. We're talking about Acts chapter 2, where an uneducated fisherman named Simon Peter delivered one of the most powerful prayers or sermons ever spoke. And the scripture tells us that 3,000 souls were saved that day. Disciples weren't eating pizza and playing checkers when they gathered together. They were praying, just as this church should be doing. We get prayer requests every week. I send prayer requests out over the internet, and I don't do it just to have something to do. I do it because I believe prayers can affect persons' lives. Mark thanked you today for the prayers and for the phone calls and the letters he got. Hearts are touched and lives are changed through prayer, and I truly believe that. And the disciples weren't just sitting around waiting to see what would happen next, just as we shouldn't be doing. If we want changes in our life and changes in this community, changes in the government of this nation, we should be praying, not just waiting around to see what happens next. You see, the disciples' lives were transformed that day. They would never be the same. They saw the connection between prayer and Jesus' ministry. They saw that Jesus' connection to the Holy Father was through prayer. And that's something I want us to understand today. We need to recognize the importance of prayer in our lives. I want to ask you, where does it rank in your life? Just how important is prayer? Is it the most important thing that you do? Is it important enough to pray once a day, more than once a day? Is it important enough to be continually in prayer? What priority have you assigned it in your life? Now, I know that we're a busy people, and I stand up here and talk for myself, about myself, because I'm a good example. Most of us have jobs. We work long hours. I get up early in the morning to go to work, or I did. I don't have time to get up any earlier and pray. I barely get up time now to get to work on time. And after work, well, let's see, there's housework, there's yard work. Don't forget about the meals that have to be fixed. The dishes have to be done. Then you got the kids. I got to run them to sports practices. We got music lessons. We have friends' houses. They got to go play with their friends. We have to run them there. Maybe to the library to get things for their schoolwork. And then there's shopping. We don't want to forget shopping. We have to get groceries. We have to make sure we have all we need. And then my favorite show comes on at 8 o'clock at night, and I don't want to miss that because that is my favorite show and I deserve some time. And after 9 o'clock, no, 9 o'clock, that's the time I sit down and just veg out because I'm worn out from my day. You see, God just have to understand that we have more demands on our time than the disciples did. Really a busy world we live in now. And I want to tell you, God does understand. God knows what you place ahead of Him in your lives. So let's take a look at a day in the life of Jesus Christ. See how busy His days were. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 21, going through 39. Says, then they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Do you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And then the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice. He came out of him, and they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Stop right there a minute. Yeah, it amazes me that the unclean spirit knew who Jesus Christ was and who he represented when humanity around him questioned it, didn't know. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came, took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place where he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now Jesus had a busy day. He started out preaching in the synagogue, casting out demons while he was there. Next, he healed Simon's mother-in-law of a fever. In the evening, after the sun had set, the whole city lined up outside of Simon's house, waiting on Jesus for him to heal and cast out demons. The next day, Jesus got up before the sun had risen to go to a solitary place and pray. And Simon and the others went looking for Jesus and told him people were looking for him. It's time to pick up where you left off and get started again on another day. But you see, Jesus connected to God through prayer, and he had new instructions. He said, "No, we're going into the next towns to preach and cast out demons, to spread the gospel." You see, if Jesus hadn't taken the time to pray, he would have missed out on God's direction in his life and the opportunities in another town. He could have picked up right where he left off, but God had other things. In our busyness, in our everyday lives, how many times have we missed out on instructions from God? Because we get up and just pick up where we left off from the last day when we went to bed. We don't take the time to pray, to talk to God, and to listen to him. Now, how can God bless our lives if we don't hear him? And we can't hear him if we don't talk to him. How can our lives be transformed? How can them positive changes be made if we don't connect with God first? I want to tell you, if you don't take anything else away from here today, I want you to think, if you don't have time to pray every day, it's time to examine your priorities in life. We need to get into that rhythm, that natural rhythm of prayer, of talking to God, just as natural as getting up in the morning and talking to your husband or your wife or your kids. And it is just a conversation, and that's what creates relationships. If we don't get into that relationship, that conversation with God, we set ourselves up where we miss out on God's instruction. And when the hard time comes, we're not praying to God, we're negotiating with God. We're asking him to change the things that we've gotten ourselves into. Maybe you have a situation in your life right now, a situation that's disrupting your whole family, a situation where you can't sleep at night, and out of depression you turn to God and you say, "I'm going to turn this situation over to you, but here's what I think you need to do, God." And that's not what we should be doing. When we turn the situation over, we need to trust God that he'll resolve it in a perfect manner. But what if you had a relationship with God like Jesus did? A conversation every day, a closeness, a relationship that's built on prayer. Maybe you would have seen the problem coming. Maybe God would have guided you away from the problem. Or maybe God would have equipped you to better handle the problem you're in. Instead of worry and stress, you'd have a life of blessings and strength. See, God doesn't want you to get waist deep in a swamp full of alligators before you turn to Him and ask Him how to drain the swamp. God wants you walking with Him so He can keep you out of the swamp in the first place. So I say today, let's take a stand and become a people of prayer. Approach prayer with the right attitude. Be real. Don't try to impress God. Don't pray what you think God wants you to hear. Because remember, He already knows your hearts, and He knows your thoughts. He knows what's on your mind. Just speak to Him what's on your heart and be relaxed. You need to go someplace where you can be alone. It's okay to pray while you're driving. Pray in public, that's good. But at some point, you need to get away from the distractions. You need just to sit down and put God first in your mind and pray and listen. Be calm and be still. Wait on God. Then be revealing. Just talk. Talk to God like He's your friend, because He is. Talk to Him like He's your father, because He is. Talk to Him like He's your counselor, because He is. And talk to Him like He's your Savior, because He is. That's what prayer is with the Lord. It's a conversation between two people who love each other. We talk to Him because we have a loving relationship with Him. I have a quote I want to share from Samuel Chadwick. It says, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil and mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray." And I believe that with my whole heart. We're no threat to Satan at all. He's got way more power than we do. But when we pray, we tap into the power of the Lord, to our God, our Father, and He enables us, and He leads us, and He guides us. Satan knows, and Jesus knows, and now we all know that whenever people are praying, whenever lives are being changed, you know, people are having a conversation with God and putting Him first in their life. So I want to say today is the day to make a stand, to bring change into your life. I don't know if everyone here knows Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If not, this is a day to take a stand. Come down and talk to me when we pray. We have our invitation. Or if you don't want to talk to me, get one of the deacons, one of the leaders of the church, and talk to them. It's no special power to lead someone to Christ. It's God in your heart. It's the Holy Spirit. Do you come here today with a burden? Then it's time to make a stand. It's time to make that change. You having family problems, money problems, marital problems, children problems, parents problems? Today is the day to make a stand. Is your relationship with God where it should be? Do you know God's will for your life? Are you serving God, or are you just attending church? Today is the day to make a stand. I can stand here and I can promise you a spirit-filled life, and a life of peace and a life of joy. But it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with your relationship with God the Father, with Jesus Christ, and that comes through prayer. If you have a need for change in your life, it's time to stand up. It's time to make prayer the number one priority in your life. Let's all stand. We'll pray together. Heavenly Father, I seek you out. Father, I bow before you. I acknowledge my weaknesses, Father, for I am just a sinner saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's in Christ's name that I come. Father, I ask you to help me as I stumble through this life. I ask you to lead me. Keep me from those places I should not be going. And Father, I pray for wisdom and a knowledge of your scriptures, Father, to help me to stay on the right path. Father, I ask for your strength. And ask you to pour your blessings out upon these people, upon this church, Father. Both those that are here today and those who couldn't be here. Father, I ask that you would make us a praying people. That we would have daily conversation with you, Father. That would be the number one priority in our lives, because I know that everything else will fall into place. It's in Jesus' name that I come and I pray. Amen.